From Directions Media, which this month begins its 10th year covering geospatial technology and all things location, this is Directions on the News. This is Joe Fransica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
For our podcast this week, Tuesday, Election Day, November 4th, we'd like to talk about kind of a retrospective of what happened 10 years ago. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. ArcGIS 9.3 is now available and offers a complete suite of software that improves your entire GIS workflow.
Adina, the first thing I want to talk about, given our perspective, this is our 10th year anniversary for Directions Media, and we're going to look back into our archives and some of the things that occurred with respect to the news, companies, products that were announced, and see what their impact was with respect to today and whether they've had an impact or whether we've just moved on and don't talk about things much or products anymore.
We really should say that 10 years ago when Directions Magazine, now Directions Media, began, neither of us were involved.
Okay.
I certainly was reading Directions from the beginning. I suspect you were as well.
Right.
But we were not smart enough to launch this magazine, and we're lucky to be involved with it now.
Yeah, that's a good perspective. 10 years ago, when neither of us were involved with Directions magazine, we certainly were aware of what was going on, but being that it was the first publication launched entirely online to cover geospatial technology, there are certain things that went on at that point that we would like to review. And one of the first things I want to bring up is Microsoft, which actually bolted onto the scene way back when with its MapPoint 2000. It was the very first press release we ran at Directions. I believe it was on November the 2nd. We launched the day before, and only with a weekly newsletter. I'll point out today we're doing dailies. But back then, MapPoint 2000 was released the first time. That's a product that kind of fell off to the wayside or evolved. We note that just last week, Microsoft, again in the news, comes out with this single visual platform that tries to give companies an opportunity to take advantage of multiple products. So we're looking back here at Microsoft once again making news 10 years later and now a dominant player on the geospatial technology front.
Yeah, and things really have changed. If you go back to that press release, one of the subheads was, "New Microsoft Office application combines ease of use with high-quality geographic and demographic data." And that's really the way it was positioned back 10 years ago. And one of the things that I remember about the launch is that it was really positioned as part of Office, this idea that you're going to have this mapping tool along with your spreadsheet and your word processor and PowerPoint. Didn't really work out that way, and I don't really think it was used that way. It always seemed to be its own little product on the side. The other thing that's important about that release is if you look at the very bottom of the press release, they actually have the price. Do you remember the price when Microsoft MapPoint launched?
Yeah, I want to say I didn't recall that, but I think it was $395.
Not even. Estimated retail price of $109.
$109, wow.
And this was not too many years after that first huge leap we saw in the availability of data, where Scott Elliott, who actually founded this magazine, took together nationwide street data at his company Wessex, and that was $1,500 on CDs. It was 15 CDs, if I remember correctly. It was $1,500. And not too many years later now, we've got $109 with base data the entire United States.
Leading up to that, the whole announcement was the desktop mapping had bolted onto the scene. MapInfo's product was taking off. And even before the launch of Directions, we had seen how MapInfo embedded a little app into Microsoft Excel. I think that kind of prompted Microsoft to go in this direction, to include their own Office product to sit alongside of Word and Excel. So this was quite a big foot stomping in the middle of this little mapping technology industry when Microsoft bolted onto the scene.
Right, and then came the response.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that was sort of interesting. And we've got a press release here from November the 4th. of 1998, just after the announcement of MapPoint. And the press release was from MapInfo. And the title of the press release is, MapInfo Welcomes Microsoft into Business Mapping Market. And it was basically saying, okay, welcome, you know, we like seeing you. And there's some quotes from John Cavalier saying, you know, this confirms the importance of the marketplace and a general sense of a rising tide lifts all boats and things are great.
And I have to say that had to be one of the best pieces of marketing spin I've ever heard, because it was certainly a competitive thrust right at the heart of MapInfo at the time. At least that was my opinion.
I think so, too. And I really give MapInfo a lot of credit that they wrote the piece. They had it out just a day after the announcement. Companies looking back now should look at how quickly that small company responded and how carefully their press folks were keeping an eye out. But that was a terrific response. And to MapInfo's credit, it's certainly still around. I never thought of MapInfo really butting heads with Microsoft on the MapPoint kind of product. MapInfo never released a sort of consumer-sized product. They never released sort of a sub-$500 business map kind of product. And they've really stuck to the knitting. And now with the acquisition of Pitney Bowes, they seem to be doing fine.
Of course, also at the time, there were some things before this launch where ESRI had acquired a business map, which was more of a desktop product in that same price range.
Now, can you imagine when Google came out with Google Earth, that it might be welcomed into the community by the players?
Yeah, that's an interesting, yeah.
I don't remember anybody certainly putting out a statement. I think after some time passed and things calmed down a little, the PR spin got put on it. But boy, you know, the MapInfo guys were right on it.
Yeah, and also during this era, this was not long after Oracle had come out with Oracle Spatial. And just as a parallel, we don't see Oracle putting out a press release saying to Microsoft, welcome to SQL Spatial coming into the marketplace. So kind of an interesting tie-in also about 10 years ago.
Back 10 years ago, we were also in election time, weren't we?
The first article number one that we published, had how Broward County, Florida, would influence the vote. And we may still see Broward County influence a vote here, at least with today's election.
It was a very short article. It basically was a little demographic picture of Broward County, with this statistic that nationally about 70% of registered voters between 55 and 75 years vote, the largest turnout for any age group, according to the census of November 1996. I think older voters are going to play a key part in today's election.
So what's also interesting to me is that we were narrowing the interest level of voters at the county level and putting them on the map. And I don't know if that was the first time, certainly not the first time, but my interest is in getting down to finer and finer geographic detail. And as we're seeing today, with all of the coverage, all of the media outlets trying to use mapping technology and getting down into the details on, if not a county by county basis, but maybe by a congressional district basis or a zip code level, and I hope eventually down to a precinct level, because this is where the changes are occurring and where the votes are counted and where, at least as we saw recently in our mayoral election here in Huntsville, it got down to very nitty-gritty neighborhoods that were influencing the election in varying proportions, 70% for one person, 30% for another. And this was swaying the election. So mapping continues to play, and I think will always play, at least from here on.
But sadly, we should point out that article did not include a map.
That's right. Well, we weren't doing a lot of graphics way back when. In fact, the newsletter for directions was just a text newsletter.
That's true. And so certainly that has changed.
One of the other things that came to our attention was a November 2nd press release from Seagate, where they said the Seagate software adds the MapInfo MapX mapping capability to their Crystal reports. Now, we could very easily point to this as one of those very early news items where mapping applications were included into something that was aspatial, right, just the regular old reports. Today, we're seeing 10 years later mapping capabilities linked to business intelligence, customer relationship management systems, enterprise, other enterprise systems, and all looking to do it in kind of a dashboard approach. In this case, it was probably nothing more than a little button, which many of those applications were way back when. But here again, you could point to something where this embeddable app was now in a business program.
It's very interesting to look at this and talk about MapInfo, MapX, and there was this whole period of a couple of years where the hot acronym was OCX, these embeddable controls that you could use to build little applications. We don't talk about OCXs anymore, do we?
No, not at all.
We don't. That's where MapObjects was in that space, which again, at one time was the thing to talk about. And that's really evolved into other ways of connecting technology together. And certainly now you'd be much more likely to be looking to connect maps to your application, but that application would already be running on the web. So you tap into some kind of web service to do your mapping for you. So that's a big change. But the other thing to note about that, too, is Crystal Reports at one time was the tool to make reports. And boy, I can't even remember what year it was that Crystal Reports was delivered with ArcView.
Right.
Remember that? And it was a big deal because it really put a lot more power into your ability to manage and set up the reports. I haven't heard about Crystal Reports in quite some time.
The last thing we'll mention here is another press release that came out, again, not long after Direction started. This is in December of 1999, where MapQuest redesign unveils a friendlier interface and a comprehensive branding opportunity for partners. This was when MapQuest was still owned by Geosystems Global, well, about a year before the AOL acquisition. And you got to wonder, you know, they were talking about friendly interfaces and branding opportunities. Certainly that's still a main interest of MapQuest in trying to get people to use their technology. But has it been all downhill for the last 10 years for MapQuest? They've really lowered their profile on at least the mapping technology scene.
That's true. Their name certainly isn't spoken as much as some of the other online mapping services. Having said that, though, they always rank right at the top when you look at destination sites for mapping. I mean, they got in there. They've got the name like Kleenex for online mapping still. I mean, the numbers have been slowly shrinking, and certainly from a technological standpoint and a feature function standpoint, Google Maps, many people would argue, has it over them, way over them. But they're still hanging in and again, being very focused on a B2B kind of implementation as opposed to consumer kind of site. So like MapInfo, they've stuck to their guns, and at some level, it's working.
But you have to, I think, admit that they missed a couple of the opportunities that would have catapulted them further and would have improved their brand, one of which is the online advertising and linking that to a location. And then secondly, in terms of search, they never grasped on to the fact that as a portal, they could be a major player in the ability to search for things. And certainly that was Google's intention from the very beginning. And again, you know, 10 years ago, search was in the domain of Google and nothing else. MapQuest was in mapping, and the two should never meet. Google changed all that for sure.
Yeah, and I think if there is blame to be had, it lies in AOL, not figuring out how to really take advantage of all the tools that it had in hand.
Absolutely. I mean, that was your main portal for many years, for many people getting online, having their first online experience was an AOL account.
Right.
And that was your ability, you know, they offer the ability to search, and they just, I think, that was a missed opportunity, and I think you're right, it didn't use those tools.
And I'll go back to Kleenex. At one time, AOL was the Kleenex of the Internet.
No doubt. It's very hard to unseat something with that kind of brand recognition, but it has happened.
It has happened both with AOL and with MapQuest.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. If you've got your comments or thoughts about a retrospective of what went on 10 years ago, please write to us at editors@directionsmag.com. Our sponsor, ESRI, would like to remind you that GIS Day is coming, and it's coming on November the 19th. Join GIS users around the globe as they introduce GIS to new audiences, create geographic awareness, and share their successes. visit www.gisday.org to find event resources and to register to host an event in your community. And actually, we hope that you'll join us at Directions Magazine for GIS Day on November the 19th in Huntsville, Alabama, where we will host our second Rocket City Geospatial Conference. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you've enjoyed our podcast and Directions Magazine for the last 10 years, and be sure to tell a friend.